Hello, my name is Desmond Lynch. I'm 23 years old and I want to be a filmmaker. I made a podcast called The Witch in the Orchard and I'd like to tell you about it. Pre-production. So pre-production, for those unaware, is the stage in which you plan out a creative project. In the same way a house needs blueprints before building, any creative endeavor, whether it be a film or a podcast, needs pre-production. For the podcast, I needed a few things sorted out. Firstly, I needed to secure a studio space. A recording studio adds legitimacy to a project. It also helps an actor's performance as well. It's more comfortable to perform in a safe, controlled environment like a soundproof recording booth. It's harder to deliver that kind of performance in a living room or some guy's shed. I was also new to the scene, so I couldn't just ask actors to come around to my house. I don't think I have to explain why I, as a stranger, can't just ask people to come to my house, particularly a room that has been soundproofed. It's a very dodgy situation, and I'd rather not be associated with that kind of thing. So the studio was the way to go. I scouted multiple recording studios, and I ultimately decided to go with Amp Studio in Belfast. The prices were good, studio was very nice, and I liked the staff. The sound engineer and studio manager were all very skilled and lovely people. I'd recommend using their space for all your audio needs. I sat down with Craig Sheridan for an interview about the Orchard production. You can expect to see that soon enough. The second thing I needed was to sort out some artwork for the marketing and promotional materials. I wanted to get a local artist, so I asked about on the Media Therapy Facebook group. That's the prime area in Ireland where you can find actors, crew members, musicians, artists, pretty much anyone creative. I asked about for artists and was recommended some people. A few artists also reached out to me personally, as well to send their portfolios. In regards to artists, I was very pedantic about who I talked to. In the initial post, I made sure to detail everything an artist needed to know about the project, namely what the project is called, what the story is about, what the genre is, what is the style and the vibe I was looking for, and I also gave instructions on how to contact me, namely via email or private message. Said message would detail who they are alongside a portfolio of their artwork. There were a few people who contacted me that just didn't do that. A few ones messaged me asking what the project was about, and I just didn't bother responding. My reasoning being that if they had to ask me that question, then they didn't bother reading the initial post, where I detailed exactly what the project was about. And if they couldn't follow basic instructions like that, then why would I think they could follow instructions when I send them details about the commission alongside my art references? So I just didn't bother with them. Other people I didn't bother talking to were people whose first point of contact was just a question about money. Like, I'm talking no hello, no how are you, no pleasantries at all. Just straight up, how much are you paying? Which I personally find a bit rude and a bit of a red flag creative-wise. It appeared as a red flag to me because, one, they didn't follow instructions on how to contact me, namely, no reference to portfolio. And two, the immediate question told me that they only cared about money. There was no passion, no creativity. It was just a job to them. And in this line of creative work, I don't care for that. Because you have to care about the stuff you make. You have to care about the quality of your work, especially if you're an artist. I'm not looking for someone to mass-produce some mediocre art. I'm looking for fine quality art, and I want to work for an artist who is interested in the project. Said interest inspires ideas and their creative process, which in turn makes the best piece of art. So if that red flag noted, I didn't bother talking to them. During this pre-production phase, I learned a lot about how to engage with people, whether they be potential clients or freelancers for a project I'm commissioning. You gotta know how to talk to people and how to highlight your best qualities and skills that you may bring to said project. For example, I work freelance as a location sound mixer for projects like short films, feature films, and web series. When I apply for these projects, when I contact a client, I always say hello and explain who I am in a brief and clear way. I detail the equipment I have alongside my experience and knowledge. I also make sure to include things in those messages of first contact to reference how I heard about the job, something simple as I saw your post on this website or your friend gave me your email. And in some cases, whenever a job post details that they're looking for someone, for example, punctual and with good work ethic, I will incorporate those words in a message to describe myself, mainly just to show that I read the job post in detail. An eye for detail is always valued. So the main takeaway from this tangent is, in my opinion, an ideal candidate for these type of commissions, whether they be artists, venue owners, or actors, what I'm looking for is professionalism, skill, and talent. Professionalism means you know how to talk to people, particularly people you're doing business with, in a respectful, clear, and appropriate way. You listen, you take in their concerns, you offer solutions where need be. In a sense, you take pride in doing a good job and being in good opinion with people. Skill for me represents two things. It reflects a work ethic and a sense sense of discipline, gives me as a commissioner a sense of assurance that they will deliver on their work. Talent for me is resonant with passion. Not only is this person good at their craft, they will give you ideas on a project. Like an audio engineer may feed you ideas on music or cool effects you can mix. An actor may give interesting ideas on a line or performance, and an artist will give you ideas on colors, scenery, etc. Professionalism without skill or talent is useless to me, because that just tells me you can sell yourself and you can get on with people, but you lack the necessary skills for this type of job. Professionalism and talent without skill is useless to me as well, because while you may be able to create good work, you lack the skills I'm looking for, namely time management. If you have skill and talent but no professionalism, then that's useless to me as well, because you could be an expert in your field, but if you can't get on with people, well, then I don't want to deal with you. In the same way, if you have professionalism, you have skill, but lack talent, I'm likely not looking to do business with you either, because skill and professionalism by themselves is just cold and calculating. There's no passion to the craft, and those type of people just care about the money, and that's not the type of energy I want to bring on my projects. I know this sounds like I'm being very pedantic and fussy, and that's because I am. For this project, I put forward £2,000 of my own money. This project is personal to me, and I don't want to be hiring people who would rather be doing something else. I want people who care, or at least have the decency to pretend that they care. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. After talking to many artists, I eventually decided to go with an artist named Kevin McHugh. I quite liked his work and style. He is also an avid horror fan, so he liked the scary aspects of the Orchard Story. I commissioned 2 paintings total. I sent him a document detailing what I wanted from both paintings. I detailed them as explicitly as I possibly could. I have a background in art, so I knew to send Kevin as many references as possible, detailing everything from landscapes I wanted, how tall the witch would be, what her clothes looked like, what the horse looked like, the type of houses in the village, etc. The landscape is very akin to the countryside of Ireland. The houses are like these little whitewashed cottages you'd see in villages back in the 1800s. Dirt track roads, green valleys, that type of stuff. Then you had the mists and the grey sky, stuff like Van Helsing and the D&D module The Curse of Strahd played a huge influence on the aesthetic of the art and the vibe of the project as well. Kevin and I had a lot of back and forth during the pre-production and production phase of The Orchard. He sent me sketches and I'd send back further art references detailing more stuff like the position of the characters, the shape and position of the trees, the colors in the paintings, stuff like that. It was a lengthy process, but I'm glad we did it, as I think we got the best quality art as a result. While the design stage was extensive with many sketches and designs, I always made an effort to commend Kevin for his work. With each new sketch, even if it wasn't entirely what I was looking for, I always made sure to point out the stuff I liked and thanked him for his work and his time. It's not just enough to want professionalism, skill, and talent. You got to actively show that you appreciate the people you have hired. It is a two-way street, after all. I got the paintings at a pretty decent price, which I was very happy with. Kevin McHugh is a great artist, and I'd recommend him to anyone looking to commission art, whatever their project. I also interviewed Kevin to talk about his work on The Orchard and his art as a whole. You can expect to see that as well soon. During pre-production, I also sent out a casting call, again, used media therapy to find a cast, detailed what each role was and how to contact me. I was a little less fussy with actors than I was with artists. Pretty much anyone who messaged me that was polite and not objectively insane got an audition. A few people commented on the post asking me to reach out to them personally, and I'm just like, no, you reach out to me. I'm not chasing people down, not for this project. I auditioned 20 different actors. Auditions occurred over Zoom, as this was during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, so social distancing measures had to be accounted for. I recorded all the auditions, both on my phone and my Zoom 4HN recording device. It was a good idea I did, because near the end of the audition process, I didn't remember half of them. I played back the auditions, whittled down who was best suited for the roles, and offered the best candidates the roles. It was a bit of a tricky process, and honestly, the audition phase was my least favorite aspect of the entire project. It's a very awkward situation for both actor and caster. The actor wants the role and the caster decides who gets it, so the environment isn't very chill, it's not very natural, it's always a bit awkward, so you can't really make small talk or anything like that. It's kind of like the most awkward sales pitch imaginable, because you're essentially selling yourself as a performer. What I learned was just to try to make people comfortable, say hello, do the pleasantries, talk to them like a person, not a slab of meat. It sounds strange, I know, but you'd be surprised how people talk to each other in this line of work. When you're reading with them, perform flat, see how the actor performs when they have nothing to react to, see where they go. stuff like that. I also made sure to send audition sides at least 2 days beforehand, alongside character details, specifically to name the characters they were playing, brief description of their background and personality, alongside stuff like the accent that the character would have. It's better for the actors to have time to prepare, and I also made sure to detail it's a voice acting audition, so there's no need to learn lines. At the end of the audition, I made sure to thank the actor for giving me their time, and that I'd let them know whether or not they got the part as soon as possible. Auditions took about a week to do. 20 people auditioned total, and I had Zoom calls with at least 3 actors pretty much every day. These calls varied in length. Some only lasted 5 minutes, others lasted 12 to 40 minutes. All depended on the actor. Some auditioned for one role, while others auditioned for multiple. The audition process was my least favorite part of pre-production, and maybe the entirety of production as a whole. It's just incredibly awkward dealing with people in these types of scenarios, not to mention how stressful it was to get the entire thing sorted. I have these memories of being in work at the bar I worked in at the time, and about every hour or so I just have to sneak off to a hiding space to check my emails, send people sides, send people Zoom links, basically had to respond to hundreds of emails accordingly. After all that, I spent a few days listening back and forth between the audition tapes I had recorded. Like I said before, half the auditions I just straight up forgot about, so the tapes were really useful. It was difficult to find the right fit for certain characters. Most of the people who auditioned were looking for the parts of Henrika, the lead, and Frankfurt, the main antagonist. You'll be surprised to learn not many people wanted to play Gregor the farmer or the town drunk, which was a bit frustrating on my end because Gregor was one of my favorite characters in the story. After all was said and done, I settled on 10 actors total, 9 being the main cast and 1 being the narrator. Frank Cannon was always my intention of being the narrator. I'd worked with him previously on my final year short film at university. He's a very easygoing guy, I liked his voice, and I thought he'd be a good fit for the project. Others were a bit harder to cast, namely Henrika, Joseph the Butler, and Father Loxlow. It was trying to figure out the voice of the character, how they talked, and how that would represent them. On the opposite end of this, we had the Pale Girl and the Crab Man, which was just out of the gate belonged to Tasha Henderson and Jeremy Mottram, respectively. Tasha was so good, I ended up using her audition tape in one of my demos I made on the Orchard, and Jeremy just completely understood the absurdity of the Crab Man, which is why he got the role, and later the roles of Lorcan and Villager Number 2. I was talked out of doing rehearsals with the whole cast, but I tried to make sure I got some done with some of the primary cast members, namely Henrika, Joseph, and Frankfurt. Everyone's schedules at the time were a bit hectic, which is why during production I found it easier to direct one actor at a time, so it would, instead of group recordings, it would just be individual recordings. That was the good part of doing rehearsals. It also helped us iron out the kinks as well, which was useful. During this late stage of pre-production, I had the cast pretty much all set. I had an artist commissioned and a studio selected. Before we began production, I wrote up these documents for the actors I refer to as character references. These documents included some backstory to their respective characters in case it may help the performance, alongside information such as how the character would talk, so I gave references to accents, performances from movies, games, and TV shows I thought resonated with their characters respectively. I gave all sorts of information I thought was helpful and would later have Zoom calls to the primary cast members, having long detailed chats about the characters they were playing and how we would go about production. All of this I did for 2 reasons. Number 1, I wanted the best material possible guaranteed before we even started going into production. I wanted to ensure everyone was on the same page, there wasn't any confusion about characters or roles, nothing like that. Number 2, I wanted to show the cast the type of production they were working on, namely one I took very seriously and professionally. I wanted them to be reassured that despite the fact I'm doing literally all of this by myself, that they were in good hands and that they could trust me. Trust and respect are difficult to earn, but very easy to lose. If I were to do this entire project again, there'd be many things I would have done differently. Namely, I would have just had actors send me self-tapes. Self-tapes, of course, just being video, or in this case, audio recordings of the actor's audition that they do in the comfort of their own home. It's less awkward and stressful for me personally to organize locations to audition in or even just organize Zoom links. I'll likely just do self-tapes for my future projects. I'd also probably just reach out to talent agents directly, telling them about the project and what the roles will be available. That may save some time with the audition process, as a talent agency may know which of the actors they're representing will be best suited for which role. I also might have just got Jeremy Mottram to voice most of the male cast. No harm to the actors in the Orchard. I thought they all did a great job, but it proved a little stressful trying to wrangle 10 actors to do all their respective parts. In later projects like these, I may just end up cutting down the cast and having them do multiple roles, which is pretty common in voice acting. The main reason I didn't have Jeremy voice multiple roles from the get-go is that I wanted to meet people, I wanted to work with different actors. I wanted them to get to know me and the work, because that way, more people would get to know about me, more people would hear about the work I did, what I'm like to work with, all that type of thing. Now it's kind of like, well, most people just know me primarily as a boom pole operator, which is fine, I'm a great boom pole operator, but no one really knows me as a director, no one really knows me as a writer or a producer or any of this stuff, which is partially why I'm also making this audio commentary series. A lot of work went into this and I wanted to talk about it. Well, pre-production was stressful, but production itself was, well, that was a whole different story. I'll talk about that in the next episode. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and goodbye.